Welcome to the Runner's Tribe podcast, where we dive deep into the world of running, bringing you insights, stories, and conversations with athletes at the top of their game. I'm your host, John Rankin, and on today's episode, we have an inspiring conversation with U.S. Olympian and professional runner, Joe Klecker. If you're simply a runner or someone who's extremely passionate about the sport of track and field, I truly believe you're going to love this episode. Throughout our conversation, Joe shares valuable insights into the world of competitive running, from the importance of team culture to the mental and physical preparation required for top-level racing. During the first part of my conversation with Joe, he reflects on his journey as a runner, sharing how his upbringing in a running family shaped his passion for the sport. We also talk about his training regimen, the challenges he's facing, and his approach to setting and achieving extremely high goals. We also dive into the dynamics of team culture and the impact it has had on his performances. We discuss the significance of surrounding yourself with the right people and how a supportive team environment can elevate individual and collective success. In the final part of my conversation, Joe opens up about his aspirations for the future, including his pursuit of making another Olympic team later this year. We explore the mental aspects of racing and the importance of holistic preparation beyond physical training throughout our conversation. So, whether you're a seasoned athlete or just lacing up your shoes for the very first time, join us as we uncover the mindset and strategies behind elite level running. Hey, my fellow runners, before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Are you ready to take your running to the next level? If you are, then listen up, because I've got something special for you. Picture this. You're hitting the trails, whether it's the rugged terrain of the Tarkine Trail or the scenic paths of South Orange County, California, where I live. What's on your feet? If you're like me, you're lacing up a pair of Tarkine Trail Devils. These shoes aren't just any shoes. They're a game changer. With every stride, you feel like you're gliding effortlessly, propelled forward with minimal effort. As a former professional middle distance runner, I'm super picky about my gear. But the Trail Devil checks off all the boxes. Supportive, stable, and downright comfortable. But Tarkine isn't just about making great shoes. It's about making a difference. Founded by Australian runners Sam Burke and Ross Johnson, Tarkine is on a mission to revolutionize the running industry, one eco-friendly step at a time. They saw the wasteful practices of the running shoe industry harming our planet and decided to do something about it. That's why Tarkine's eco-friendly shoes and apparel aren't just for elite athletes. They're for everyone who cares about the environment, who wants to support small businesses, and who believes in running with a purpose. And here's the best part. When you support Tarkine, you're not just getting great gear. You're also helping to save Australia's largest temperate rainforest, the Tarkine. So, join me in making a difference. Head over to Tarkine.com today and be a part of the movement. That's Tarkine.com. Plus, enjoy free global shipping on orders over $150. Let's lace up together and run for change with Tarkine. And now, on to today's episode. How's it going, man?
Doing well.
Dude, I apologize for the time thing. I always worry.
No worries.
Like,
I mean, I just realized that I looked at the email and it said hour later. Because, yeah, you must be on Pacific time and I'm on Mountain time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm over here in Orange County, California. So I'd like to brag about the weather, but we've had some weird weather lately. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was down there just a week ago in Dana Point.
Yeah, you had the 10K, was it?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I was just checking out, just making sure I'm up to date in terms of like what you've done so far and how you're doing. And I don't know if you want to start there or not, but I mean, I did see a flow track conversation, and you were talking about just kind of working through a couple of injuries or things leading up to that race. But I mean, you still ran pretty damn well, all things considered, from what you were saying. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit first and just kind of give us an update on where you're at and what's coming up for you.
I think that's a good spot to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about the race and kind of like what
what you had going on before it, and then how you're able to kind of put it together, because it sounded like you had some injuries that can be kind of tough to work through, especially going into a 10K.
Yeah, no, I mean, so kind of going in, this was one of the bigger races I had for the spring, because mm-hmm. I had to, it's the event that I'm, one of the events I'm trying to qualify for the Paris Olympics in, so I had to put together a good race, going after the Olympic standard, which I just missed, but nonetheless, like, there's like a whole ranking system as well, so it's not like the end all that I didn't hit the time. It would have been nice to hit the time, but I think that it was still a good result, which will help me for qualifying for the Olympics. But yeah, leading into it, had a little bit of injury stuff kind of coming off the Millrose Games, which I didn't run very well. I was kind of battling through it at that time. And then after the Millrose Games is when I kind of started dealing with it. I thought it was just like some muscle tightnesses. Eventually I went and got an MRI and I had a stress reaction. So once I had that, that was only a couple weeks before the race, and I wasn't in a ton of pain. So I think that we decided that as long as things felt good, we were still going to do the race, but realizing that, you know, leading into it, we had to cut back the running quite a bit and do a lot more cross training than I'm used to. And I mean, normally I run 7 days a week, twice a day, most days. And so going from that to going on the elliptical and the Ultra G treadmill, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
it's basically
just like reduces, you know, the body weight that you're running with. And so kind of shifting some of that training leading into the race was something I wasn't totally used to. And so that was like, definitely something I really had to more battle mentally going into the race, just knowing that my preparation was going to be different for this race than any race I've ever run before. And so that was probably the hardest part leading in, was just trusting, you know, my ability to still put together a good race. And it wasn't quite what I wanted, but it was definitely like a race I'm still very proud of, just knowing like what I was dealing with going into it. And then now on the back half coming off the race, still just working to get my body back to 100%. Things are feeling generally, you know, on the up, but, you know, just want to make sure everything's 100% before I really dive into training again, because, you know, you don't want to just like have these issues linger, into the spring and summer, trying to make the Olympic team. You know, it's better to deal with it now and then put together, you know, more consistent training leading into those bigger races and not have to, you know, do what I did leading into this 10K, going on the elliptical, the Ultra G, you know, the bike, rather do that now, get healthy, and then be able to just really focus on the running training leading into those races.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, I mean, obviously, I know you don't know me that well, but I'm a huge fan of you, and I'm a huge fan of sport. Obviously, we got to connect on another podcast not too long ago. One of the things that, as I've gotten to know about you and follow you, and I'm a huge fan of the sport. I mean, at one point I was a competitor, but now I get to be a fan. Honestly, I kind of like it, because I feel like I get to be even more of a nerd of the sport. And one of the things, having been in your shoes to a certain extent, having competed at Olympic trials and run at the highest level, is I really do appreciate what seems to be a strength of yours is your mindset, your mentality. We did talk about this a little bit in a previous conversation, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about just how you're going to use that going into the remainder of this season, going into the Olympic trials. And I mean, I'm rooting for you, man. I'd love to see you at the games. You've made a couple teams already. So I know that you have the ability to show up when it matters. But when you're dealing with stuff like this in an Olympic year, what are you telling yourself, you know, how to manage, you know, your expectations and your goals?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, you never want to be dealing with this type of stuff, but kind of, you know, I haven't had too many injuries in the past, but the year I had a broken foot a couple years ago, and that was like really the first injury I had to deal with for like years. And that was my first injury as a professional runner. And so that one I would say was like a lot harder, because I knew like to make the Olympic team or make the world team that year in Eugene was going to be very tough. And so having that setback, even though it was a little bit earlier in the year, it was more like January. And this one, you know, was a little bit later, but having worked through an injury like that in the past kind of gives me that confidence that I can do it again. Again, none of these injuries are like super major where it's like, I can't run for months at a time. It's like, I'm still able to train at a pretty high level. It's just not following, you know, you're not just, it's just a little hiccup, I would say, in training. And so I think having done it before gives me a lot of confidence that I can do it again. But I think that more than anything, you just got to like really simplify what it takes to go make an Olympic team, you know, like you got to go to the trials and be top three. You got to hit the standards. And I think that when you simplify it like that and you take away a lot of the extra noise and the extra things that are going on, like there's a ton of races I'd love to do. And, you know, they might be possibilities to do, but I think that simplifying it down to what is really important on the year, which is qualifying first for the Olympics. And so, yeah, not just trying to focus on my training every day right now and doing what I can, and realizing like I'm working back towards being 100%. And then I can really look at those races and get excited about them. You know, I think that putting too much on the calendar right now can just add a lot of stress that's not really needed. Like the only thing on the calendar right now is just the Olympic trials. And
there it is. Yeah, I love it.
There will be races, you know, between now and the Olympic trials, but, I'm waiting to really focus on those till my body's ready, you know. I think that you can't rush like the healing process on things, and doing so can just set you back further. So, yeah, I think that my mindset like going in is just like realizing, like I know I've made, you know, the last three U.S. teams and I know what it takes to make those teams. And a lot of it's not even physical. A lot of it is going to the trials and being able to perform to your ability. I think that so many people, they get to these big races and they're not able to do that. And so like, that's why I was really encouraged by my race this past weekend, even though I fell short of my goals a little bit. I know I competed to my ability on that day and where my fitness was at. And so, you know, like given I was a little fitter, I think I could have run that sub 27, but I think with this setback and injury, my fitness just wasn't quite where it needed to be. But nonetheless, I went there and like performed to my ability that day. And so to do that is important, and really shows me that like leading into the trials now, like if I can do that again, I know I can make the team. And so
exactly,
from now until then, like we're like, it's just about getting the body back, getting the training in, but, never like losing sight of like what it takes to make those teams. It's not always like the fittest athlete that makes it. It's kind of the one who can go and perform on that day. And so,
yeah,
that's something I know I'm good at.
And it's magical. I mean, I feel like that the Olympic trials, the U.S. Olympic trials specifically is so, it's so amazing because that environment, you know, it reminds me of situations like March Madness. It's like, yeah, just because you had an amazing season, you're ranked number one, that does not guarantee anything once the tournament starts. Everybody starts from zero. And so you can have all kinds of, you know, stuff, challenges, issues, things going into the trials. And then, you know, you just put it together that day and none of that, and then it erases all of that stuff. And yeah. I think one of the key things for somebody to succeed in that situation, looking back, is how they show up mentally for that moment. And, just to touch on it. So like the only thing that I could say to that experience is what I remember, and it's very hard to forget competing in the Olympic trials. Like it feels like it was yesterday. I remember competing in the 800 and not making it out of the first round. And that was the first event. And I was, thank God I was doing the double and, in the 1500 meters. And I remember, you know, I kind of wanted that security blanket. I was like, if I could do really well in the eight and I have two events, then I have twice the chance. And so it would reduce the pressure. The moment the eight didn't go well, I was like, oh no, you know, I was really worried. And I actually had a severe, two crazy things happening. I was told I was halfway towards kidney failure going into the trials, like a couple weeks before that. So that was like wreaking a little bit of havoc in the back of my mind, but I kind of just was like, I'm going to deal with this after the Olympics. And then the other thing was I had this crazy issue with my psoas. It was like basically in knots. So all that that basically your power box right around like your pelvic area, it was tied up in knots. So I couldn't kick. So I was like stuck in one gear and I had to do all this work just getting into going up, leading up to the trials to even just kind of get it loosened up enough to run at a decent effort, you know, speed wise for that, those two speed events. And I don't know how, but for some reason I was able to just put that stuff in a box and say, it doesn't matter. Just run however I can and just try to be super freaking calm. Just don't freak out. Don't panic. Just it's gonna be what it's gonna be, you know. And at every race, it unfolded where I was able to get to the next round, get to the next round, and you know, obviously, I didn't make the team, you know, in the 1500, but I was less than a second off, and I was right there going down the home stretch, living out this moment that I imagined for my entire life. But I don't think I could have even had a chance to make the final in the 1500 if I didn't just kind of show up for that moment and say, none of that other stuff matters right now. All I could do is what my body's going to allow me to do. And you never know. And mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing because I couldn't even kick. I couldn't even kick. And so I could have easily have just said, it's over, but I didn't. And I thank goodness I had enough mental strength to do that. It doesn't seem like that's really too much of a challenge for you though, Joe. It seems like you're a championship runner and not everybody can say that. And that's pretty freaking cool, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that kind of what you're talking about is similar to maybe how I felt this past weekend, just knowing that, you know, there are some certain limitations going into the race, but just trying to really not let those be, you know, at the front of my mind and think about on that day, yeah, kind of however I step on the starting line is how I'm going to show up, and then just doing the most with what I have on that day. And so, you know, that's not something I've really had to do too much, because normally, like I said, I haven't been injured too much, and my preparations for a lot of races have been, you know, near perfect, and like I don't have these things on my mind. But yeah, kind of like I think this past weekend will be a race where I can draw a lot of strength from in the future, knowing that, yeah, when things aren't perfect, you can still kind of work through them and, you know, have a really good race. And like, you know, yeah, like you said, you never know like where that's going to place you, like for yourself being so close to still making an Olympic team, despite those limitations, I think is really, kind of what it's all about, because a lot of people, you know, that time of year, everyone's training so hard and everyone's probably got certain things going on. It's easy to think that, you know, everyone is just in a perfect place, but I think that's really rare. And so to give yourself a chance, I think is kind of the most important thing. And definitely something I'll be, you know, focusing on going into this Olympic year, just, yeah, not like stressing about those things that maybe aren't perfect, just kind of, being ready to race to your ability on that day is always just going to be what's most important.
Joe, it seems like you were born to do this though, man. You know, when I think about your story, and I mean, your whole family, I mean, does everybody run? I mean, I know obviously your mom and dad, they have their running background, which is, there are no slouches, man. So, I mean, like, you know, does everybody in your family run, even your youngest siblings?
Yeah. So my older siblings all ran at the collegiate level. And then so did my younger sister, and then my youngest brother. I have five siblings, so my youngest brother, he ran like the hurdles in high school and then went on to play Division I football. But nice. Yeah, five of the six of us all ran at the collegiate level, and so yeah, it was definitely something that we all enjoyed doing, something we loved doing together. There are oftentimes like races I'd compete at in California where one of my siblings would also be competing, and so it was cool to have those moments where, you know, you get to link up, you know, on a trip in California or wherever it was at the time. But yeah, no, it's definitely something that was very ingrained kind of in our family.
What does it mean to your family to have you doing what you're doing at this level?
Yeah, I think it's fun for them to follow. I mean, a lot of them still run more recreationally. They still love the sport. They're like always watching track and field, but not necessarily have aspirations of still competing. Two of my sisters still run, I would say, like semi-competitively. They're trying to like, you know, qualify for the Olympic trial marathon, but they're not, you know, it's not the main thing in their lives. So, you know, it's just cool for them to, I think, see what I'm doing, and it gives them a lot of inspiration to push for their goals. But, it's still just something that like our whole family, like I said, we're all fans of the sport. And so to have me kind of in the thick of it, you know, trying to qualify for the Olympic teams, it's fun for them because oftentimes, you know, my dad would fly out to a race or my mom and one of my siblings would come along, and it's just like a fun time to like see them because none of them live in Colorado. So I'm not always seeing them a ton here. Like a lot of times it will be at those races where they come watch me. So it's definitely something that like still keeps us pretty close as a family, despite having one sibling in New York City and one in Portland, Oregon, as far as you can be. So
what's the conversations like with your parents? Did they give you any advice, or like, do you guys talk shop a little bit in terms of like what you're doing? I mean, obviously I do want to talk a little bit about Coach Ritzenhain and what that's like working with him. But what kind of advice or feedback or did they provide to you, because they are so experienced and they do understand so much about the sport?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is they just understand kind of where I'm at and what I'm going through most of the time. Like my mom made the 92 Olympic team. My dad was a very competitive runner. And so they've dealt with a lot of the, you know, the stresses of this sport, whether it's injuries, whether it's, you know, traveling across the world for racing, like they understand a lot of that stuff. And so, you know, they just have like good advice along the way, and, you know, they can understand like my experiences because they went through a lot of the same stuff. But yeah, in terms of like, you know, training and that kind of stuff, like they're pretty like hands off. Like they really just let, like in high school, my high school coach take the lead, in college same way, and then not now at the professional level. But I think more than anything, they're just like very supportive, and a lot of that just comes from like knowing what I'm going through. Like even with this last race and this dealing with this this injury, like my mom in her career had to deal with a lot of injuries, and so she just understands kind of what I'm going through and has good advice, like how some of her better races were coming off of these injuries where she had to do a lot of cross training. And so
it's funny,
that's like a good motivation just to kind of keep, you know, keep my head up every day that maybe I'm not out running, but I'm still able to, you know, work towards those goals, and it's still valuable training. So that's probably the biggest way they support.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I'm so glad that your mom, you know, is able to talk. I mean, I think support, having the right support is critical when you compete at the highest level, especially in sports, but in anything in life, it's always great when you're surrounded by people that understand what you're trying to do. And with the injuries, I mean, dude, I had so many injuries. I had 7 stress reactions in college. I broke my foot, my first full year as a professional, in the middle of a race at this U.S. championships, you know, and I was crushing it. And it was like 2006, and my foot broke, and it was just like, oh man, it was devastating, you know. But I think that when you, when I think back on the injuries, though, obviously, number one, I was just saying that support is critical to work through that. But I honestly believe that, you know, everything happens for a reason. You're given what you need, right? And so as obvious as it is to want to do the work as runners, I think, and I talk to a lot of young runners, so this is always a funny thing to share with them, but I always say that just because you're injured doesn't mean you can't train. There's still so much that you can do that can help you to improve, right? And I always found that, you know, when I did get injured, the thing that I had to deal with the most, that I typically overlook because you're so busy doing all the other stuff, is the visualization, the mental side of things, the figuring out like, what do I need to say to myself when I'm getting ready for a hard workout or a hard race? You know, like what's my actual perspective, understanding who I am, like all of this mental work that we tend to avoid because we hope that we could just make up for it in the training. I found that that was actually more important than the training itself, because the training was actually, and I loved running to the brink of death. You know, I loved pushing to the edge, man. And I enjoyed that. To me, that was so much easier than spending time and dealing with my mindset. Mm-hmm. And so when I had to face it, man, I tell you, I always came out stronger. There was never a time that I didn't come out from an injury better than when I went to it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Like when things are going well and everything's coming easily, I think that it's easy to overlook kind of that mental aspect. I think that even this indoor season, kind of before I was injured, I went into some races, like the training and everything was just coming so easily. And I went into these races and I kind of underperformed a little bit to what I was hoping to run. And it didn't really make sense to me because my training was going very well and my body was feeling good. And so kind of underperforming, I couldn't really put it together. But when I look back at those races, I think that, yeah, that mental side of things, I was just kind of expecting things to come a little easier because of how easy the training was coming. But I think when it comes to competing, it's never going to be easy, no matter how good your training is. And so in these times now, like with this injury and kind of leading into my last race, just realizing, you know, going into last weekend, the 10K, it's going to be a mental battle. Just,
yes,
you know, putting aside these things that you're dealing with and pushing your body to the limit and understanding that it's going to be more of a mental kind of than physical battle is really important, because that's how a lot of races are. I think that it's really that mental side of things that doesn't let you sometimes push to your absolute limit. And mm-hmm. so coming off this injury, I think that that's going to be a big thing, is having to, you know, work through these hours of cross training where it's not as fun and it doesn't come as easy as just going out for a run like we love to do.
Yeah.
That's where I think you kind of come off sharper and maybe even appreciate, you know, when you are able to train outside running or you're getting into these races, you're able to appreciate it a bit more and you're a bit more excited. You don't have that kind of complacency or that feeling that it's going to be kind of easy because things have been going so smoothly.
That sounds like an advantage to me going into the trials, because I think that what scares me the most, is that feeling of complacency and like being almost too comfortable. One of my favorite sayings, as I kind of started to figure it out, and I had that breakthrough at the end of my college career, and then I was able to turn pro, was I would tell myself all the time, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. I think that this situation and this type of year, I kind of feel like it's an advantage. And I honestly think that you have a great coach for this type of situation. You know,
yeah, no,
Nathan has dealt with everything that you can imagine.
Yeah, he's dealt with a lot. And I think that, yeah. You know, I've had a number of people asked me, because I think this past weekend there are a lot of the top players in the 10K who were there, and I ended up finishing as the fourth American or fifth American actually in the race last weekend. And, you know, just wondering how that kind of affects me mentally. But I look at the teams I've made in the past, and I don't think I've ever been seeded in the top three in terms of time. And so,
right,
like at the Olympic trials, I think I was seventh going into the race in terms of my PR. And so I've really learned to kind of overlook that aspect of the competition. Like you kind of said with like March Madness, it doesn't matter how great your year was leading up if you can't put it together when it matters. And so, just kind of bringing home that point that going into these championship races, that anything can happen. And it's just so important to be on your A game, even if, you know, things haven't been perfect leading into it. That feeling of complacency. Yeah, if I was seated in that top three, I think even still, I'd want to have that mentality that,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone's trying to knock you off, because it's never easy to make these teams. And as soon as you think it is when you get knocked off. And so it's going to be a really fun race. And I'm really looking forward to it. There's so many, you know, the 10K in the US has really grown to a new level. And there's kind of this contingent of really good athletes who want to make this team, and we're all going to fight for top three. It's going to be a fun race.
Oh no, it's going to be bonkers, man. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a more exciting time to be watching some of these longer races, because I mean, I don't know what you guys are doing, man. I don't know what you're eating or what, but dude, you guys are just doing stuff that, I mean, you guys are running times that when I was really at that level of racing, I'm like, what the heck, man? There's so many of you doing this now. So it's not even about, I honestly feel like, and you could speak to this, please, because as an older, former professional runner, I'm looking at how many people and how young you guys are and how often you're popping off these amazing performances. I'm like, how the heck are you guys doing that? I don't understand it. I mean, I kind of have a couple of ideas, but time doesn't seem to matter as much anymore as it does being able to just show up and compete. I mean, more than ever, you guys are running fast. So who cares about the time? It's like, it's going to be there. It's like, how do you compete while running that fast? Is the question. Yeah, I think
one thing, like, for our team, like, we have a really good team, and that we're all kind of pushing each other in training to these new levels. And so we're getting to a level of fitness we've never been at. But then on the contrary, that, you know, there's a lot of good teams around the US and around the world. And I think more and more you're getting these top athletes training together and really pushing each other, where it used to maybe be like an athlete kind of training alone or maybe with a few training partners. Now, like for our team, for instance, you show up to practice and there's just from the 800 up to the marathon, we have some of the top people in the world. And so in training, that's pushing you to a new level. But then you go to these races, and now all of a sudden everyone has these really good training setups that maybe weren't as common, you know, back maybe when you were running professionally, or even as recent as just a few years ago. And so mm-hmm. I think that people are just getting a lot, you know, they're benefiting from these team environments. And then it really shows up on race day when now you have 15 people in the mile on a starting line who really all believe they can break 350 for the mile or something like that. And they're just pushing each other in those races, you know? And so I think that versus, you know, maybe having one or two guys that are like the top people and they just want to let the race kind of lag and finish really strong. Now it's just, you can't do that with the depth of how good people are.
No, it changes the sport. It changes the game. You know, it's no longer like, oh, if you can run a certain time, good chance you're going to be all right. Not anymore.
No, the time isn't really, it's really irrelevant. I think that you see some athletes are really good at running fast times, and then you see some athletes that are really good at racing. And then it's rare that, maybe not rare, but it's not always that you get an athlete that can do both. And so I think it's just hard to be able to do both, to be a good racer, but also be able to go out and run these really fast times that are required now to hit the standards for these major global championships. But that's another thing that's really pushing how people are training and what people are doing, is that, you know, they have to run these times that are the qualifying standards, and these times are crazy. You know, they're really fast. And whenever they come out with these standards, it's like, that's what people are targeting all year. And that's what these races are going for. And you know, those times used to be like in the 10K, 28 minutes. Now it's 27 minutes. And so all of a sudden you see these people rising to the standard. But I think that when they make those standards, I mean, it's just what people have in their mind and what they really try and go after. And I think that's another thing that's kind of pushing people to new levels.
I actually think it's, I mean, if anybody has a problem with these standards being higher, I think they're kind of missing, you know, an opportunity to see how that also elevates the quality of what's happening in the sport in terms of performance. It reminds me of like being a Formula One driver. Like, there's a reason why there's only so many of them that make it to that, you know, from Formula, you know, two to Formula One, right? You know, like mm-hmm. there's levels, and only so many drivers can actually compete at that level and do what they do, right? And so I feel like that's kind of what's happening across the board, you know, for it all over the world, you know, in terms of the standards and the performances in track and field, is it's becoming that much harder to compete at that level. And I think that's a good thing, because now what we're seeing is the best of the best.
With those times being so hard, it really shows you like who's at that top tier of athletes, who's at that top level. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not to say that if those standards were as fast as they are, say 10 years ago, I think athletes back then would have risen up to the standard. I don't think it's that athletes are necessarily better than they were, you know, than just because they're running faster now. I think mm-hmm. that there's so many factors that play into running faster that are happening today, just in terms of like the training setups and everything. But no, I agree. I think that those times being as fast as they are, it's really just showing you like yeah, if you're hitting those times, it shows that you're in that like top tier, that you're like at that world-class level. And I think that making the times slower, it just, you would see a regression in kind of the progress that the sport is making.
It changes. I just feel like when you set a higher standard, you change, you open up the opportunity for so many other aspects of the sport to improve. And I don't know if you've heard, like, there's all these rumblings this has been a conversation I've heard for my entire running career, ever since got into track and field when I was 14, was that we want to improve the sport. We want this to elevate the sport. We want the sport to be considered more prominent, especially in the U.S., like Major League Baseball, like the NBA, like the NFL. But there's just, for some reason, we can't figure out the formula for getting track and field to that level as a sport. I know Michael Johnson just recently came out and he's, saying, he's working on a new track league or something like that. And I think that when you see track and field doing what it's doing, even at a high school and even a little bit before that at the youth level, again, the performances are kind of ridiculous. You got high school kids breaking 10 seconds in certain parts of the world and it's legit. And then, you got kids doing what they're doing, coming straight out of high school and making teams and for the men and the women. And I'm sitting there going, man, it's becoming more and more commonplace. So I feel like you have to do things to raise the standard. So then other aspects of the sport also gets elevated too. And people will pay attention when it's just ridiculous performances and they're legitimate too. I know that performance enhancing drugs has been an issue in the past. I don't feel like I hear that too much of a conversation anymore. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like I think it is, in general, it's real performances. I think it's better for the sport, and I feel like it's inspiring other aspects of the sport to actually be elevated as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, it's an Olympic year, so I think there'll be a lot of eyes on track and field. I think it's one of the most fun, something that a lot of people look forward to with the Olympic Games is following the track and field. And so I think that this could be a big year for kind of the sport as a whole, that, if it can be a really entertaining year at the Olympics, which I'm sure it will be, I think that can go a long way in kind of helping, like you said, change the perspective of what our sport is kind of here in the U.S., leading into then an Olympics that will be hosted here in the U.S. So I think it's an exciting time to be kind of involved with track and field, just because I think there's a lot of people who see ways to grow this sport and ways that it can become more prominent. At the end of the day, it starts with the athletes, and the performances need to be there. No one wants to go watch, average performances, that you go and watch these other sports leagues because you have the chance to see something amazing every time you go to a sporting event. And I think that's how track has to be. But I think that we have a lot of people in the sport right now that are doing that. And so I think leading into this Olympics and then into LA, I think there's a lot of opportunity to just kind of highlight that and create a lot of buzz around these performances.
What is speaking of I think you make a good point. I mean, I think the next 5 years in the United States, track and field is going to have an opportunity to really shine as a sport that should be paid attention to here in the United States. But I had the opportunity to reconnect with, another great American distance runner, Will Lear, recently. And we were talking about storytelling and how we felt like it was so important to celebrate athletes like yourself with amazing stories so that more people had a reason to care, not just watch because of the performances. The times, unfortunately, for most people don't translate the way that they would if you knew the sport, right? So if you're not a student of the sport, what makes you care about the sport? And it's not just a great performance, but it's the story behind that great performance. What do you guys think about that in terms of like being professional athletes? Obviously, you got to focus on your performance, but this is your job too, right? You gotta shine. How do you view that perspective in the world that we live in now, where you do have an opportunity to build your name, your brand, and obviously build great relationships with other brands to generate, attention and revenue and all that good stuff?
Yeah, no, I think it's important. I think that's one thing why those other sports leagues do so well is that you follow these athletes through college, you follow them through the professional, you get to know kind of who they are. And I think that track is no different. I think that you're seeing more and more that athletes are kind of having that willingness to open up a bit about, you know, their training, open up about, you know, what they're doing in between. Because, like, we're not a sport that, you know, basketball is 82 games a year and they're competing quite often. We just can't do that in track. And so I think that you need to fill those gaps in between between races and competitions, and especially the big ones, you know, like Olympics is every 4 years and world championship. You know, you might only have one big, really big thing a year. And so you need to kind of keep fans engaged and keep people interested in what's going on. And so I think, yeah, like you said, with the storytelling aspect, I think it is really important. I think the hard part is in today's age, there's so much media out there that things can get drowned out. So I think there's got to be a way that it can be done that it, like, so people are seeing it, you know, like it's not just getting drowned out by like all the media that's out there. But yeah, I agree. I think it's really important for growing our sport. I think that, like, for me, I know, like, with my teammates, I get much more excited about their performance because I know who they are as people and I know kind of the things that drive them. And I think that's no different from a fan's perspective. Like, you know, I always look at someone in the NBA, like Derrick Rose. People were so invested in his journey because they knew what he went through, his injuries and everything he had to deal with. And then I remember seeing, like, when he was on the Timberwolves, I think he had like a 60-point performance or something, and he was in tears after the game because he didn't think he'd ever get back to that level. And so those are the type of things that I think that really capture people. Like you said, you know, a 60-point performance in NBA, like that might happen quite often, but to see like someone like Derrick Rose go through everything he went through and come back and do that, like that's what's really cool. And those are the things that kind of stick with you.
One of the most meaningful 60-point games maybe in NBA history, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an NBA nut. So I know for sure, like what that dude went through and to do what he did, it meant a lot. If you, like, again, like if you care about a specific sport, and when something like that happens, it means a lot.
Yeah. And I think there's stories like that, you know, in track and field of people who just deal with a whole bunch of different things and are able to come back and put these amazing performances, make Olympic teams, earn medals, whatever it is. And so just a matter of capturing that in the right way and conveying it, you know, to the audience. I think that it's a little easier in an Olympic year when people are more tuned in to the Olympics in general, and especially watching track and field at the Olympics. So I think that, again, it's another good opportunity that we have right now to kind of build those stories around people and their performances and giving more context to what those mean beyond, like, just the time or the place.
Well, let's brag on your teammates a little bit. Let's brag on your club a little bit, because, I mean, I think that you guys got a club that is, I mean, arguably one of the best clubs, if not the best club out there. To be honest with you, it's pretty ridiculous who's in your training group. Tell me a little bit about the team and the culture and how fun it is. I mean, you guys must be having a blast running at such level, man.
You know, I've been on the On Athletics Club since day one. I was actually signed with On before the team even existed. And so I've really seen it come from nothing to what it is today. Like you said, you could argue that it's the best club in the world. And I would believe that too.
Seriously.
But it's super fun. I mean, just to be able to go to practice every day and train with, you know, such high level athletes, you know, like Yard, who's many time American record holder, and people like Ollie, Commonwealth Games champion. And then you have Helen O'Beery on the women's side, who's, you know, now won the New York City and the Boston Marathon. It's like, you get to train with these people who have these amazing accolades, but then you get to really know them as people as well. And it just kind of creates this really fun culture that we have, where we're all just like pushing each other towards these goals. And really on this team, like, no goal seems too crazy, like with what we've already accomplished. And so that's what makes it fun, is that really, I think that everyone believes they can go earn a medal, or they can go, you know, set a American record or national record, world record, whatever it is. Like, there's so, like, just seeing what we've accomplished already in 4 years has really, like, inspired kind of maybe what we'll do the next 4 years, is that nothing seems too big. But yeah, like our team's grown a lot over the years. I think we're up to maybe around 15 or 16 athletes now.
Wow.
But
okay.
Every time we bring someone in, like we've been very fortunate that they've been a great addition to not just the athletic accomplishments, but kind of to the culture that Dathan envisions for our team. You know, a team that's very supportive, a team that really cares about what everyone else is doing. Like we're not just training partners pushing each other, but we're really invested in, you know, how everyone's doing in their sport, but also outside of the sport. And I think that's really valuable to have like a long-term sustainable team, you know, because you're going to have highs and lows. And I think that you need to be able to weather those together as a team.
What do you think, how does Coach do it? How is he creating this culture amongst Giants right now in the sport? Because you guys are pretty stacked across the board as far as performances on the men's and women's side of your club. What does he do that's so unique to make it work so well?
Yeah, I guess it's hard to say whether it's unique or not because I've only been a part of this team. But one thing he really emphasizes is bringing on the right people. And mm-hmm. a lot of times we'll have people come out on visits. You know, he'll have a lot of phone calls with the potential recruits. And just to get to know them as people and understand, like, if they would be a good fit for the culture that we have. And so that's one thing that's super important. I mean, I always think back to when we brought on Mario and Yared a few years ago. You know, within a month of them being on the team, it felt like they'd been here for years because culturally, like they were able to just be themselves and they fit in so seamlessly with what we were doing. You know, they obviously wanted to be the best runners they could be, as does probably any runner who would want to join our team. But I think the important thing was they're able to just be themselves and they're just great people and they just elevated kind of the like our team, not just athletically, but just having more great people, I think is important, you know?
Yeah.
And they're two people that really care about like our performances, like everyone else's performances. And that's important. You know, they're not just seeing this as an opportunity, you know, joining this team as an opportunity to better themselves. And I think that's one thing maybe we try and avoid is people that are looking to get something like selfishly out of this team. Obviously it's a kind of an individual sport and you got to look out for yourself, but that can't be the reason you want to join this team because really it's more than that. You know, like we are really looking for people that want to join a team, not just a place they can, you know, have good resources, have a good coach, a good training system. Like
yeah.
You got to really buy into what we're doing.
I honestly think that, I mean, I trained by myself. I actually didn't even have a group. I had opportunities to maybe go join a couple of different groups, but it never really panned out because it just wasn't something that made sense for me personally. But when I think about running as a sport, I think that you need community. I think that you derive energy from the group and from their belief and their excitement and their honesty and their vulnerability because running requires vulnerability. You are out there on your own. Nothing can help you other than you figuring it out, right? So whatever's within you and whatever's nurtured and cultivated within you when you're leading up to these big moments, right, is really what's going to make the biggest difference. And I feel like, and you know this from being at Colorado and you know, running on one of the best college teams and performing at the highest level in college, having a great team, though, helps that, you know, having a great culture and being part of a great program helps you to raise your performances, you know, and how you show up and how you feel, you know, going into these races and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like, yes, you could do it by yourself, but I feel like it is more powerful when you are with a group of people that believe in the same and have a shared vision and believe in the same thing as you do. Without it, I feel like it's a lot harder than it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to look at a team like ours and think that all the success we're having is because, you know, the workouts Dathan's writing. And like, not just like his workouts are great. Like he's obviously shown he can write great workouts and get everyone in good shape. But I think to have across the board as good of results as we've had really comes more from the culture of the team and being able to push each other to be the best we can be. I don't think a coach can necessarily do that. I think it comes mm-hmm. from having all the right people on the team. And so I think that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of factors, but that's one that I think is very overlooked. It's easy to think that it's just the workouts you're doing that, you know, translate to what happens on race day. But I think, as you know, there's so much more that goes into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I think the training part is honestly, as it's an important part, but I don't think it's necessarily the biggest part, because if this, all these other things aren't there that, you know, add up to a bigger piece of the pie that makes up everything that goes into what you're doing at this level, the training doesn't matter. And that's my favorite thing to tell kids. It's like, I'm like, man, you can do everything right, but if you don't believe, who cares? Mm-hmm. Right? You got to believe, number one, yeah. More than anything else. And I've seen great people do great workouts and don't show up at all at these races, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, man, you can run faster than me in training, but I loved racing. I knew who I was as a runner, as a racer. Mm-hmm. And that I know that made a big difference, you know, in terms of how I perform. So yeah, I think there's a lot of other factors that play into what you actually get out of the sport when you go to compete, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, we got the Olympic trials coming up and you've already made an Olympic team. So I really would love to know, cause you've already done it. What does it mean this second time around to you, making this Olympic team?
Yeah. I mean, I think that every year the goal is to make that global championship, because I was, you know, you can't, all my goals that I have for my running career would take place at that global championship, you know, mm-hmm. like winning US titles is great, but like, it'd be great to, you know, you can't go for a medal or go for, you know, a top 10 finish at Worlds if you're not there. And so, kind of the second time around, like I think three, four years ago when I made Tokyo, it was like not something I knew I could do. Like it was a big, you know, it was a big, not a surprise, because I mean, that was my goal at the time, but to actually do it was like a bit of a surprise. And so going in this year, I think that I just need to, again, not get complacent, like thinking, okay, I made it last time, I should be able to do it again, because it's going to be hard no matter what. But I think if I do go on and make the team, I just have, I know what to expect a lot more when I get to the world stage, when I get to Paris.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm excited about. You know, I really, you know, all the focus now is going into making the team. But once I do that, then I have, you know, a lot that I want to do at the Olympics. What I've learned over the last 3 years from racing the 10K at the global level. And so I would say, you know, making the team again, it would just be really exciting, because I know like where my goals are now at the world level. When I was in Tokyo, I had no idea what to expect. Now
right.
I have a much better idea of what to expect when I get to that level. And that's really where, you know, when I look back at my career, I want to be able to, you know, say like, you know, so far I finished 9th place at the World Championship in Eugene, and I'm very proud of that. And I want to improve on that. And I can't do that if I'm not there. And so that's what I'm excited yeah. about.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, getting to compete in these kinds of championships, I think one of the coolest things, and this is what's, I think, so special about running, is you get to learn a lot about yourself, you know, because when it's a high pressure situation, when it's the biggest stage, and you actually allow yourself to really go for it and to be present and to do everything you can to just grit it out and compete and try to do something special. Not too many moments in life where you know the date and time when you get to actually show up, really show up for life, you know? And so I don't know, man. Yeah, I think it's great. You know, you get to do it again. You know, I don't know. I really do think that watching you run, everybody talks about your mechanics. Everybody talks about how you look, how you show up mentally. I mean, those are things that just keep coming up. And so I feel like you definitely have a good chance to do something extremely special at that stage. So I definitely want to see you there. I want to see what you can do the second time around. But that's one thing, right? But one of the questions that I wanted to bring up for you before, you know, we close out this conversation, and I could talk to you forever, Joe. This is so fun. I really appreciate the direction that this conversation has gone, talking about kind of like where you are and where you're going and the outlook for this year. But Will asked me a good question gave me a good question to ask the next guest, and everybody's question for the next guest is going to be different, but he asked this question and I'm curious what your answer will be, being that you're still competing at the highest level and there's a lot of races for you left to do. But is there a race that you haven't done yet that you would love to do someday?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit of a like hard question because, like the first race that comes to mind is the Olympics this year. It's obviously a race I haven't done yet that I want to do in Paris, but
that's all right. I think that's a great answer. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously aside from like just trying to make the team this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think just in general, like the marathon, I don't know which one, but that's like a race that I'm very excited to eventually do.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and no matter where it is, I don't care too much about it. I'm really just excited for like to learn how to do the marathon. I think it's so different from the track and so different. It's almost a completely different sport in a way.
Yes.
With all the stuff, you know, like it's just so different. I'm excited to learn like that in the next phase of my career when I when I transition from the track to the roads more. And so that's like what I'm excited for. I mean I'm sure Chicago, New York, Boston, you know, eventually, like hopefully I am able to run more than one marathon in my career, you know. But I would say just the distance, the marathon, is what I'm excited for.
Good. No, I mean, I think it's a wonderful answer. And I thought about it when I was like, okay, so I get to connect with Joe next. And I said, it's going to be interesting to ask him. Because I mean, the obvious answer in my mind was Paris, obviously, you know, I mean, like that is the race, you know? So I love your answer. As far as, you know, heroes and people that you look up to, I kind of wanted to just get your take on, you know, people that you look up to in the sport, who inspires you a little bit. I wanted to end on one other question in terms of what question you have for the next guest. But before I do, I was actually curious. I don't know, it came up for me naturally when I was thinking about getting to chat with you. I'm like, who does Joe look up to? Who inspires him in his running? Because you do have this running family. And it's, obviously, there has to be a tremendous amount of passion and inspiration from each other. But is there anybody or a few runners competing now or from the past that kind of inspired you and continues to inspire you throughout your journey?
Yeah, I would say, you know, kind of to your point, like growing up with that running, kind of in a running family and having parents who were so successful in the sport, like that was kind of always who I looked up to. Like, to be honest, there's not many like athletes currently running or growing up there. Like I followed the sport, but again, I think it was hard to really connect with a lot of athletes because you didn't really know their story much. I mean, there wasn't a ton of storytelling around it. So it was really hard to connect where my parents, I knew like their journey. I knew, you know, I got to hear so many stories about their racing. And so they were who really inspired me and continue to inspire me. Like I would say there's no runner I could see or go for a run with that I would really be like starstruck by. Like, I don't really get that feeling. There's people I'd love to run with and love to talk to, but and running on the global stage, you know, I get to run with like just tons of people that I would never get to run with all different backgrounds. And that's super fun. And I really enjoy that. But I would say it's not like these people are, you know, heroes or inspirations per se. Like, obviously they might do things that I want to do. Like, you know, they might inspire me in that way. But I would say long-term, like there hasn't been one runner or anyone who I've really just looked up to for a long time other than my parents. Cause they've been raising me since I was born. So it's easy to hear everything about their story.
No, I think that that's wonderful. I mean, I am a parent. So, I mean, ideally my kids look up to me and hopefully the way that, and my girlfriend and the way that we live our lives, it inspires them, you know? So ultimately you kind of want to see that in the home. And just, I'm just speaking about it as a parent. I mean, that means you're doing a good job, I think. So that's really cool. I love hearing that, man. Well, Joe, I know you're a busy dude. I mean, dude, I can't believe I even got to connect with you at this point in time. So I appreciate you so much. And I am a huge fan. I am cheering for you for sure. And I will definitely, you know, just, you know, check in with you and see how things are going and everything. But I know you're going to be busy as every month going up, going into June and when the trials start and everything. So thank you so much for connecting with me. Before you go, Can you give me a question? And it's going to be a runner. It's going to be another runner or track and field athlete. I don't know what event or discipline. So with that being said, is there a question, something fun that I should ask the next guest?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I really liked Will's question about, you know, what race. I think that's a good one to ask a lot of people, but
I do too. I like it.
yeah. Cause I think, you know, there's so many, it could go any way. Like there's so many, you know, different athletes, different types of races, but I think a question like that kind of builds off what we were talking about today a little bit. Like we were saying how the training aspect going into a race sometimes is like not always the most important part. It's an important part, but not the most important part. I think that it'd be interesting to hear from other athletes what they do outside of training to prepare for a race. You know, like, because for me, it's been a bit of a newer thing, you know, when things haven't been perfect, to really have to like think about like preparing mentally for a race, you know, beyond like realizing that, you know, you have these limitations, like you were saying in your Olympic trials, and still, you know, pushing to your ability on that day. And that takes, you know, a type of preparation that's not just physical. And so I think it'd be interesting to ask, like, outside of just running and training, like what do you do to prepare for a race, you know, mentally, physically, like what do you do to get ready? I think that there's probably a lot of things people do, you know, to make sure they can push themselves to the limit on race day.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question, actually, or in topic to explore with everybody, especially if they're running at the level that you're racing at, so, and training at. So I actually really do love that question. And
yeah, or like, what is the, you know, like we were saying, a big piece of that pie, you know, a big part of it is the training physically, but, you know, to other people, what else is in that pie that creates a good performance?
And I love talking about that kind of stuff. I feel like that's the most revealing stuff isn't, hey, what's your favorite workout? It's, what do you do outside of that? Really?
Yeah.
You know, because it makes you consider, even look, as somebody who's done it, I like want to support you guys and I want to see you guys succeed because I just know how hard it is. And so I always look at these conversations and go, man, like, I hope I can leave them with something that actually makes a difference, that actually helps them. And I think just bringing your attention to how important the other things are that supports what you're doing on the training side and actually helps you get even more out of it, to be honest with you, is a beautiful thing. You know, it's a beautiful conversation to have. And it's a coming to Jesus kind of conversation sometimes too. Like, don't ignore it.
It's like you were saying, those athletes who could run, you know, maybe faster in a workout than a race. It's like there's some disconnect. There's something they're missing that is not allowing them to do that on the race day. And I think the athletes who do the best are the ones who can, you know, translate that. And there's something they're doing or something they're able to do that those athletes can't. And so I think that's interesting to talk to top athletes and understand more of what that is.
Well, you just made me a better interviewer, man, because that's a really good perspective. And I'm glad we touched on it quite a bit. But dude, Joe, I will ask the question. You'll get the credit because it's wonderful. And hey, I wish you guys all the best, man. I hope you keep having fun. It's my number one mantra to everybody is it does go by fast and it is a beautiful journey. So have a great time this year, Joe. If I don't get to connect with you too much beforehand, I mean, I know it's time to focus and everything, but dude, go after it, brother. I'll be cheering for you. And I know you're going to have a fantastic rest of the season. And yeah, man, just have a great time out there for sure.
Thank you.
All right, Joe. We'll be in touch, man.
Yep. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Bye.